What's up, guys? Welcome to Rice and Beans. Big O and Jess are in the house, and we've got Paul from the Butcher's Lounge Live and the head chef at Chicago's, ladies and gentlemen. RNBC Co. did it. They fucking put out the restaurant. They got a great chef, and so he is here, and he is going to take us through what we are going to be eating tonight. Paul, nice. Turn it over to you, sir.
What's going on, everybody? So, we have a theme going here. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the movie Ace Ventura. All right.
Ooh.
Good. Good. People have heard of it. This is good.
Yes.
So, we are riffing off of a line from that movie. The second one, actually, where he says, there's actually Chicago, which is the name of the restaurant,
right?
And the name of this, the sacred bat, sacred white bat, which you can see is our corporate logo down here. Thank you very much. So we are featuring on our menu this evening, shish kebabs, Shawshank Redemption prison food.
Yes.
And Chicago style ribs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's hungry?
Oh,
yeah, that, you. This guy.
Right on. All right. So we've got chicken kebabs, and we're serving those up tonight with a house-made hummus with an olive tapenade on the top. We've got grilled pita bread. And then for our Shawshank Redemption prison tray, we have Franks and beans. Some edamame, because you need your protein. You got to stay strong, fight off the rapist.
You get other protein in prison, though, right?
Not the way you think. Not the way you think. We got some nice Wonder Bread here, and then Pop Tarts. That's your commissary. You can trade for some smokes. Just be careful not to crush them as you keister them later.
Yeah.
Whoop. And then as an added bonus, as if this wasn't enough, we've got this beautiful tri-tip that we're going to be slicing up for you a little bit later.
I'm salivating.
Yes.
Yes. Should probably go to the doctor and have that checked out.
Yeah.
Just saying.
My friend, the hummus looks great. It's wonderful. I love it.
Right on. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to start by glazing these ribs with some barbecue sauce. So we've got this Brand X. And we're going to go ahead and just
glaze the shit out of it. Come on. Smack that meat.
You got to be careful with barbecue sauce. It's got a lot of sugar in there. It'll burn pretty easily. Just go back and forth. Nice and easy. Just food, everybody. Remember that. It's not. We're not solving the great dilemmas of the world. We're just feeding people. That's good enough for me.
So you know you can get these blow torches at Smoky Smoke Shop.
That's right.
We showed him on Instagram. Go right there and find out where he's at. Here in Whittier, California. Get your good blow torch going on.
Now, what would you do if you didn't have a blow torch to get that glaze nice golden brown there?
Well, I figure everybody's got an oven, so that's the easiest way. Just throw them in the oven, put them under the broiler, not too close. Again, you don't want to get this smoke in your house up. But you could also throw these on the grill, just over indirect heat, just let them do their thing, you know?
Nice.
So we're looking good.
You smell that? Very good. That's love in the air.
I do.
Yeah. Beautiful bourbon and maple flavor coming through. To really get the hint of that, the essence of that bourbon.
I don't know which I'm more excited about. You know, us doing the movie, you know, we're talking about movies, or this food porn. I mean, either way, I'm excited.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be lots of fun.
Oh, this is awesome.
We're only getting started.
Nice.
And this is how we do. So
yeah
we're gonna go ahead and get those ribs caramelized, and then move over to some tri-tip, and then oh man,
this is how we do. Katy Perry song.
So we're gonna go ahead and cut into our tri-tip.
Oh,
beautiful seasoned tri-tip, went on the grill, finished in the oven, so it's going to be a nice, I want to say medium rare, but we'll see when we cut into it. Fingers crossed. So tri-tip is kind of a weird muscle. It's got grains going in two different directions, so a different way than the other muscle grain. So take the front half of it off, and this one, you're going to slice across this way, and this one can get just sliced straight down because the muscle fibers in this side are going this way, where this one is going the opposite direction. So again, just take a nice sharp knife. Look at that. How's that for a slice of fried gold?
Yes.
Nice and juicy.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What's that? Look at that.
Beautiful.
Does that sound like when you slap it down on that cutting board? Come on, slap. Oh. That's me. That's 100% me.
That's it right there. So nice thin slices. Gonna be beautiful, tender, flavorful meat here. Tri-tip is really an underrated cut. There's not a lot of it's not a thing all over the country, you know? It's like a West Coast deal.
Yes it is. I can attest to that. Yeah.
Got a lot of butcher buddies that are from the East Coast, and they're just starting to get on the tri-tip train. So yeah. It's making its way.
I'll tell you what, it's not even made its way to Arizona.
Man.
Yeah, I grew up in Southern California, and so they would do tri-tip on the grill. Oh.
Look at that. That's meat of love.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to eat. This is going to be fucking awesome.
Hey, Jester, man, stop hitting the under part of that table, man. God.
That's talent. My hands are up here.
That's what she said.
This meat ain't going to eat itself. Come on now.
Right. Just like that. We are done.
Oh. Beautiful, beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, R&B Co. presents Shikakas. All right, guys. Welcome back. And again, we are here with head chef of Shikakas from the Butcher's Lounge Live, Paul. How's it doing?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So what was it like the first time you used guano plates?
Well, it didn't go well. The health department was not happy about it when they found out what they were made of.
I heard it went shitty.
That's an accurate statement.
Did anybody try to collect the whole set?
You know what? I think we're going to put them online as as the set. They're going to be $99.99 plus shipping and handling. So if anybody's interested, just get a hold of us. We'll ship them right out to you.
Act now.
Act now. Supplies are very limited. The bats can only produce so much guano. So,
and we tried squeezing them and everything. No more comes out.
It's not like toothpaste. I found the hard way.
Oh, man. That was some good eating. I will let you know that much. I was, I hit the spot.
Man, I haven't had tri-tip like that in years.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Oh. Tri-tip is a special thing, man. If you do it right, can't get any better than that.
I was watching this one barbecue show, and you're right about how it's not like a common cut if you're not here in SoCal.
Yeah. Mm.
There, it was one of the like a grill masters competition show.
Yeah.
And they brought out tri-tip, and these dudes are from the East Coast and like the South, and they're like, the fuck is tri-tip?
Is
I'm like, what do you mean, what the fuck is tri-tip? Like, how are you on this show and you don't know what tri-tip is? And then, so then the host goes on and talking about it. He's like, yeah, it's not a regular, like, cut of meat. Like, it's popular everywhere. I'm like,
very, very regional, very specific to California. Like I said, a lot of states are getting wise to it. And, we're seeing prices go through the roof for that. So, if you're somewhere where it's still not well known about and you can get your hands on it for cheap, stock up, man.
Yeah, yeah, man, it's good, and I like having the club memberships that where you get like the big food stores, and it's still because it's cheap there, like $30. It's 2 big-ass tri-tips. I'm yes. I don't care if I have to trim it myself.
I wonder if you could get pig tri-tip or rabbit tri-tip or rat tri-tip, dog tri-tip.
You know, they're actually the muscle exists in all the animals, so it's possible. It's not going to be, you know, you got to think about the size of the animal though, because you're looking at a pork tri-tip is going to be, you know, pretty tiny. You know, maybe
yeah,
not that big, but you know, you can get them. You're going to work hard for them, but you can get them.
Just remember, no animals were harmed. Wait a minute. No, they were. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
For sure they were.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
you know, that yeah, one bad day that happens. Yeah.
I was a little bit fast on the trigger there.
Man, Pete is going to be all over this one. And so what's been going on with the Butcher's Lounge Live, man? That was, it blew up.
Yeah, it did. It was, you know, it was born out of a brainchild of my friend Adam. He's, you find him on Instagram, is Schism1303, and he's out of Cleveland, Ohio. So his thing was, you know, just shooting the shit with random butchers all over the country. You know, he and I followed each other for a little while, and you know, we followed the other 6 dudes in the lounge, and you know, it just one night he Instagram chatted me and Frank, another guy from the lounge, and it was born out of that conversation. He got the idea, like, we need to start some sort of a community for butchers, because if you go on Facebook, there's a lot of butcher communities on there, but a lot of like old timers that are kind of disgruntled and very stuck in their ways. And there's a lot of negative shit that goes on there. So we're kind of like, we don't really want to do that. It's more of like, we're becoming the old guard of the industry. So we wanted to make sure that we had a place for people to be able to learn and not feel stupid and not made, you know, be made to feel like, oh, why don't you know that? You know? So it's more of a fraternity of the people from the industry. So, you know, we got retail butchers, custom exempts who do just not for retail sale, but like you'll buy a share of an animal or something, and you know, you'll have a cut sheet of what the butcher can produce for you, and that's how you buy your protein. And then we've got slaughtermen who just do the harvesting of the animals, and everything in between. So, you know, it's a good resource of information for anybody that wants to get into the industry, or anybody that's just curious about what goes on.
So everyone, you just need to calm down. You know, there's certain people out there. When he says the industry, he's talking about meat industry. When guys are talking about meat around the round table, we're talking about protein. We're talking about cows and stuff. So calm the fuck down. Right. Just saying.
Everybody keep your hands where we can see them.
Yes.
Hands up, everybody.
The K key is stuck.
And what one of the things that I found like the coolest about like the Butcher's Lounge is that everybody is in like a different like geographical location,
right?
And you know, similar to what we do, but they're you know, across the country, and there's a lot of them, right? Like, how many hosts total now are you?
So
guys,
there's seven members of the lounge. That's like I said, my friend Adam. There is Norm the Butcher, who is based out of San Francisco. We have my friend Frank, who is out in the Coachella Valley. And then up in the Pacific Northwest, we have Travis, who is the retail butcher, and my friend Chris, who is the bearded butcher. And then down in San Antonio, we've got our friend Anthony. He is a Lone Star Butcher. And that rounds out the seven with myself. I'm here in Southern California in the Orange County area. So, yeah. And then we interview people from, it started as just people here in the States, and it's blown up. It's global now. We've done interviews with people from the UK, from Australia, New Zealand. One of our sponsors is actually Victory Knives. They're based out of New Zealand.
Wow.
So yeah, they make some really cool knives for us. I'm just going to kind of
bring
one out and show you guys. So all these knives are going to be on our the Butcher's Lounge sponsor, Davison's Butcher Supply. And he's a local business. He's based out of Commerce, California. And it's a family business. His dad started it. And my friend Keith is now the owner and operator. And he's doing really well. And he's given us a lot of exposure because he's well known in the industry. And I don't think we would have had as much success or exposure without his help. So big up to Keith out at Davison's. So we've got these really nice knives. I mean, we've got, I don't know if you can see that, but we've got the logo, there you go, etched into the blade there. And these knives are going to be available also on the Davison's Butcher Supply and his app as well. He's got some chef's knives, as you can see here. Again, with the logo engraved. And Victory, they make really good quality knives. They, again, based out of New Zealand, been in existence since 1926. So they've been doing it for a minute, so they know what they're doing.
Yeah, those are really sharp looking knives. I like how they were able to get like the logo right on there, and it's even on like, you know, like the smaller curvature of the blade, like it's still nice and crisp and clear, and like that took some doing.
Oh yeah, and they glide through meat like butter, man. No matter what you're cutting, it's just easy money.
Do you get a lifetime warranty on those?
I don't know about the lifetime warranty, but. I think that'll probably be the last set of knives that you buy.
More than likely.
Don't quote me on that one.
Well, take care of your knives, and it might well be, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's what it's about.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and they, man, just, again, watching them cut through, like, the tri-tip, you know, like nothing. That easy, just, yeah, though that's, man, that's some quality.
Yeah. Yeah, just calm down there, Dexter.
Actually, used to work with a guy who looked almost exactly like Michael C. Hall, and it was funny because everybody used to be like, "Hey, settle down, Dexter." When he would, you know, he'd get worked up about something in the department, and they'd tell him, "Hey, man, calm down. Don't be killing nobody. It's all right. None of us are bad guys here."
You really have to worry about the guy goes,
"Yeah, you know, I got away with a glove thing or two." Shit.
So what working in some of the areas that you worked, I know you were out like sometimes in the Beverly Hills area or on the west side, do you ever run into like, any like celebrities come into like to the when you're working any of those counters?
No, when we say run in, we mean talk. We're not talking about the knives anymore, all right?
Yeah, I mean, it's I used to work for a national grocery chain, and they had a lot of celebrity shop there. So I've helped, I helped personally before. Seth Rogen came in high as shit one time. I mean, just like fucking higher than eagle tits, I swear to God. And just drooling over our marinated meat set and just like, oh my God, this looks so good. And you know that stoner laugh that he has, and he's just standing there cracking up. That was pretty cool. And, you know, I helped Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age and Caius. Right. I mean, that dude's just, you can't be too forward with that guy, though, because like, you hear stories about him just blowing it on people. That he's just trying to shop, and you're there trying to ask him questions about music and shit. So, but yeah, it runs the gamut. You know, you get athletes, you get people like Meta World Peace used to shop at the store in Westwood.
Yeah. There.
You know, James Worthy. You know, Laker legend.
Yeah.
She used to shop there all the time. The actress that played Winnie Cooper on The Wonder Years.
No regular shit.
Regular customer. Oh. Swear to goose, man.
First love for me.
The grammar school that I went to, there was a chick that was in a grade ahead of me. And she looked just like that fucking actress, you know, like as a kid, and that's when the show was popping. Mm-hmm. And so, like, somebody had come up to her in the mall one time and asked her for like an autograph, and they thought it was her. And she's like, the teacher asked, "Did you sign it?" She's like, "Yeah." What was I gonna do? They wouldn't go away. She's like, "Okay, here." And then like, and she's like, "They're all, how did you sign it?" She's like, "I don't know. It was Winnie Cooper."
She started off with, "I'm not Winnie Cooper."
Oh man. Ultimate catfish.
Nice.
So no, that's awesome, man. And congrats, you know, to you guys and the rest of the lounge. Like it just that's awesome to see. Like it started off as just like I remember you were talking about it. You know, get involved in this, and then all of a sudden, like it just seemed like a few months later. Now it was like there's merch, there's like knives. I was like, and then the expansion to the, you know, the worldwide audience, and I was like, whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be great, man. We're There is a World Butchers competition coming up next year. It's going to be in Sacramento, and we're all planning on taking time off and going up there. We're going to do lots of in-person interviews. There's a lot of people that we've talked to that are going to be there, people that follow us, people that we follow on Instagram. And we're getting to be really tight with these people, and we've never met them in person. You know, like the guys in the lounge, I've only met, I think, one of the dudes in person. So it's going to be really nice to actually meet up with everybody, and it's going to be a lot of good conversation, good hangs there. You know, it's cool because it's something that, you know, for what we do, it kind of puts a more positive spin on it. A lot of people have a lot of negative connotation of butchers and what they do and what they're about. And, you know, not for nothing. There's a lot of companies that have really tarnished the reputation of this industry. So
we call those people vegetarians.
We don't talk about them.
You know, I foresee this expanding out to like Knights of the Round Table type thing, Butchers of the Round Table. Mm-hmm. You guys got your own bat signal going up there with a cow rump, you know, up in the sky. Mm-hmm. Everyone assembling like superheroes. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. I might pitch that to the dudes.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You could see you guys wearing the smocks and everything like a knight.
Yeah. Just the intro for the show. Everybody just like holds the knife, go puts the knife down towards the table.
Right on.
Yeah, man. And then, so we're here talking food, and we got the right people for the job.
Some eaters here.
Yeah, we love to eat. And I know like food was big. You know, it's been, you know, food's always been big in Mexican culture, and you know, like
wait, what?
Yeah, I know, nah. Right?
You sure you got that right? You yeah. Check your facts on that one?
I know, like
eat another taco and talk to about later.
We're gonna get flagged for another fucking fact checking thing like we did when Big O posted the Payday was changing its name to D's Nuts. Somebody actually reported it for fucking lack of fact checking.
Well, so, you know what? I'm gonna tell you right now, it's 100% my nuts, therefore they're D's Nuts. Put them in your mouth, yum.
That's what's up.
So and yeah, so it started early for, you know, for us. We were, you know, started cooking early, and you know, then when cable came around, and like they had the like the cooking shows, like the Food Network, Food Channel, gosh. Emeril Lagasse, and well, the Galloping Gourmet was before that, but that was
he was cooking with Justin back in the day. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Julia Child even.
Ooh, we're going to put the meat in the pot. It's all wet, just like I am. And now in the evolution, and like you got the food, the competition shows, and it's, and those, I just sit there and I'm like, oh, I'm fucking hungry. Like, why the fuck did I watch this? There's nothing in the fridge.
That's money. All right, shut up, guy.
So yeah, man, it's just like it's just constant like food porn. It's like
yes, sir.
What's some of like your favorite like show, like food shows to watch? Like I get anywhere.
I love Barbecue Pitmasters. That's on Discovery Networks. I think it's on Discovery. I know they have all the episodes on Discovery Plus. If you guys stream that service, but yeah, that one is my favorite. You know, I love barbecue. I love throwing stuff on the smoker, doing stuff on the grill. You know, so that's more my steezy. You know, but there's also other good ones. You know, if you go back to the Cooking Channel, there's you know, Roger Mooking. He's a chef from Canada. He's got a few shows on Cooking Channel, and the guy's really cool. He's a chef, but he's also like an artist. So he does some music as well. So the guy is super chill.
Nice. What about you, Big O?
So you know, I like Good Eats. I really got into that was wonderful because he broke it down. He showed you how protein's organized and how to really make a good food. It's not necessarily the best cooking, but I tell you what, once you understand certain things and the flavors in your mouth are able to put things together, you're able to put 2 + 2 and equate to something that will actually go into your mouth and go, oh. So I really love that. And another thing I really got into was Jon Favreau. He created that movie Chef.
Yes.
Right? Oh, God. It's such a great movie. It's so stupid great. But he also created his own TV show based off of that movie called Chef the Show.
Yes.
And he talked with his friends in there. He had a pit master up in Texas that he visited in the movie. Mm-hmm. And he had him on the show a few times. And oh my God, the things that they caramelized and made, that meat was so buttery. Ugh, you just, you know, it is off the hook. I love those shows.
Man, I love the episode that he did with Wolfgang Puck
Las
Vegas.
Yeah.
Man, and I had the opportunity to go and work a couple events when I was in cooking school with Wolfgang Puck because they just like hoard us out to him, you know, because they needed bodies to plate stuff. Mm-hmm. So I did one of the Academy Awards dinners with him, and he also did a private party for somebody at their house in Beverly Hills, and it's like this big sprawling mansion. It's just
freaking awesome.
Awesome. Awesome experience. And you know, the way his persona on TV where he has to be is one way. And when you actually just work close quarters with him, it's more the way that he came across on that the chef show.
Right. And, you know, the last one that really played a part in here recently is Chef Gordon Ramsay, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't take away from him. Oh, no. As heinous as sometimes he can be shown on TV, his cooking is, you know, not even close to subpar. That guy's up in the sky. He just makes great food. You watch how he makes it, and then you could just put it together in your mind and just taste it by how he does it. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, that guy's got experience in spades, so, I mean, he has the right to talk shit to you.
Definitely. Up. But what really got me kicked off was cooking with Justin. You know, that Creole guy. Ooh, them all good. We just take a little pop and put it in our mouth. Delicious. Mama, make him want to slap something good.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Yeah, I loved Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And, like, I like the cooking aspect of it. But it was his fucking antics, his fucking, what are you, I'm an idiot sandwich. I think out of all the fucking TV, like, food cooking shows, like, that is, like, my all-time favorite moment when he fucking grabbed the bread and he's like, what are you?
And then she actually got it right. That was the only thing she got right that night, but she got it right.
One for her career.
Hey, let's not forget Anthony Bourdain either, man. That guy was the friggin' awesome.
Oh, yeah, man. He's well-respected in the industry, man. It's so tragic the way his life ended, but thankfully we have, you know, all the episodes of his shows and his books. And, man, that's his book, Kitchen Confidential, is really what got me into the industry and into food, you know. And he gave you the real. Like, he told you exactly what goes on in the kitchen and how shit runs. And, you know, it was good. It was good exposure for the industry, and it got a lot of people interested in food. And that's something that I don't think we as a culture here in the States have. You know, I know a lot of other places, food is this social thing. It's something that brings people together, and it's not that way here in the States. It's like,
but it's also celebrated on that level as well.
Yeah.
Right. No,
yeah.
I mean, our Mexican culture, you know, not to pat each other on the back, but, you know, our Mexican culture is not only about sustenance, but it's about family and everything else. And it brings us together. We enjoy the food. And in most cultures, they don't, you know, they slaughter the animal. Mm-hmm. They love what they're getting. They give thanks for it. And everybody eats from it.
Yeah.
Community as well.
Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that brings up another question, you know. We're talking about eating, you know, and the cultures and everything else, but, you know, where's the weirdest place you've eaten before?
Weirdest place I've eaten?
I had wings at the nudie bar.
Wait a minute, are we talking about chicken wings?
Yeah.
Or are we talking about that thing that flaps underneath and goes...
The yard bird.
I think they call those bingo wings.
Bunch of hood rats.
That is an odd place, and yes, I have partaken of food at an establishment such as that.
You're like Chef Ramsay going, it's bloody rare, put a tampon in it.
No, you know what, I'm actually some of the best food I've had was there.
Well, yeah.
And they had a great deal, and I'm not, I mean, I know this is going to sound cheesy as fuck,
but
they had at one point they had a flat iron steak done like steak frites style with compound butter over the top with fries. Ooh, and a beer, and the shit was like $12.
Yep.
So it was like, wow. And not like this shoe leather type of cut of meat. I mean, it's something really tender, really good. Flat iron is another thing people don't really know too much about, and it's just starting to get popular. But, man.
Then you looked up and saw the clam dipping sauce on the stage. Yeah.
One place that had a mean flat iron steak was one of the joints that Mixit used to work at, this gastro pub in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah.
And it was called, I think it was Haven.
Haven, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
remember that place.
The way he creates the cocktails, you know, and everything for those restaurants that he's in charge of now, and the one that is in Belmont Shores, that Satan Second one that we were at the other a couple weeks ago. That's basically what he was doing here. He was like starting to like create like custom cocktails based on like their menu stuff that they had, and like that. Yeah, that flat iron steak was.
Second most cut, second most tender cut on the entire animal. Second only to filet, but more flavorful because it's not something that's not used. It's a muscle from a working group that develops a lot of flavor. It's got good fat in there. So, I mean, that's if you're looking for a good steak, that's definitely one to go with.
Hell yeah. What about you, Big O? What's the weirdest place you ever grubbed?
You're not going to like this story, but... I went to this place near Orangewood, California, which is close to Fresno area, you know, on the boonies and the oranges, mm-hmm. orange groves. And I was working cable, and I went into this shop. And, I have this thing about old shops. Hey, you know, they're going to hide something good in there. Well, no, this one hid salmonella. So I go in there, and the wood looked like from 1902, you know, the exterior. But, you know, they had corked pickles, you know, in the fucking barrels, and they had all sorts of things. I'm like, all right. They got a little tequila, so, you know, I get me a burrito. Smells all right. Bite into burrito. Tastes all right. Okay, well, it's a quick lunch. I better eat that thing. So I'm wharfing that down. It was a big-sized burrito at the time, right? You know? So it filled my belly. I get in the van, and I start driving off back to Porterville area, you know, where our main office was. And I got no further than a mile and a half before I heard the the bubble guts. And then next thing I know, burrito that came in is the burrito that came out, and I barely made the trees before I just dumped trow all over the place and made sure that the oranges had a good flavor. So, I mean, that's close to the worst I've ever had. You know, I've never had any weird things other than that. And that leads us to our next spot, you know, gas station sushi. Oh, man. Would you eat gas station sushi if you saw the expiration date a week prior?
That sounds like a one-way ticket to Chorroville. I'm sorry. No.
It sure does.
Even if it had a good code date on it, I'd know. I'm sorry.
And people, he did not say churro. It's no, not with sugar and spice.
I'm sorry. Let me wash that out for you guys. It's gonna give you the squirts.
Churro. Oh my gosh, man!
That ranks right up there with the with the way that fucking IKEA food gets your system going.
Ooh.
I don't know, man. Them meatballs are good, though.
They are. I can't stay away from them. I keep eating them, and then it's like, good thing you guys have a nice, clean bathroom.
Hey, how long has that hot dog been rolling on that roller? I think I'm going to take the last one.
Once a day. Oh. You see him spraying it down with water. Just making it still fresh.
We had that one on last night. We just put it on this morning. Wait, what? So, a funny note on that. My uncle used to work at a gas station, you know, quick stop, and they used to do their own deep fried chicken and burritos and everything else and throw it under the hot lamp. Well, you know, we didn't have much food in the house. You know, my parents did provide, you know, it's not like we were starving, but we would always go over there and get ourselves, you know, the throwaway chicken and throwaway burritos that had been sitting under the heat lamp. Ain't nothing better than a chicken that's been sitting under a heat lamp that's been fried that morning and falling apart in your mouth. But I tell you what, it was hit and miss. I mean, every now and then you'd have the squirts running home.
Oh, God.
Why did I do it? It was so good, though.
And you do that, and I find myself doing that too. I know there's food. I know there's like certain beers, like the dark beers. I love the dark beers, but it never fucking fails. The next morning, it's like I'll be in there for a while.
Wait a minute, you had an opportunity where you got sick, and then you know couldn't do what you were supposed to do.
That wasn't from the dark beer. That was from chicken. Chicken. So yeah, we had a show, and I had some chicken that I thought was from a couple days before. It wasn't. It was from like a week and a half before.
Yeah. And exactly.
So I washed it down with a few White Russians, and I guess that was pretty much the catalyst, because during the set, we're like 25 minutes in. I'm sitting here, sweat pouring down, like I'm all, I'll be right back. And then as soon as I turn off my mic and my camera, I like grab the trash can, I'm like hurling right here, and I'm like,
right here in this studio, people.
This very studio.
And I look up and I'm like, He's got it.
Meanwhile, I'm on the other end keeping up a conversation with Kim D'Amore, just keeping going on and on. And I'm like, is he okay? I don't know. Maybe we should just keep going. He didn't say nothing.
And yeah, I tried to come back on one time, and then like within 5 minutes, I was like, oh my God,
there goes that technical difficulty again. Like a sinner in church.
I look like I had been sitting under a fucking heat lamp all day.
That meat was soft.
Oh, man. That was a rough night.
Oh, yeah. And when you told me the next day, I could not stop laughing. At first, I was kind of pissed at you. You know, like, what'd you do? Why'd you taper off? Are you okay? What the fuck? Then you told me I couldn't stop laughing.
I couldn't believe it. It was funny because we had tried to get her, on like schedule wise for the longest time, and then finally happened, and then that was the fucking the incident of the bad chicken.
So I only threw up a couple times in my life. You know, as a child, you throw up. I don't remember those days, but as an adult, I only threw up once. Not from beer, not from booze. Even we're talking tequilas or hard liquor or anything like that. It was from a fucking calzone. So my first daughter, my eldest, she was a little baby, and I get this calzone from this pizza place. And, you know, this always has been good there. I get this calzone, I'm biting into it, and it's fucking good. I'm macking out. I'm eating the shit out of that thing. My wife's working at a hospital area, you know, for the convalescent. And I call her up, just check on her, you know, how are you doing, you know, and I hung up. And my daughter was feeling bad, you know. I was just giving her the update on that. And she was kind of throwing up and not feeling good. And then all of a sudden, that calzone just hit the wrong spot. Now I got the baby crying at me, throwing up on my shoulder. I'm throwing up almost on her. She's throwing up on me. I'm throwing up on her now. It was a battle royale, you know. I'm calling the wife back. You need to come home. Why?
That's why.
Yeah. That was like the worst night of the worst food I ever fucking had.
Like that episode of Family Guy where they all like fucking
who wants
drink
chowder?
That's about what it was. I think McFarlane got that from me.
he owes you some royalty checks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some fucking vomit pills.
Oh, man. This is a cleaning bill. All right, guys. Well, we are coming up our time for this set. I want to thank Paul from the Butcher's Lounge Live for stopping by and talking with us. You guys, like, again, congratulations on all your success. Yeah. You guys are awesome. And, I love tuning in just to see, like, you know, learning different things, like you said. You know, even if it's not getting into the industry, you know, they still show you, like, you know, where your meat's coming from and, like, how, like, the good ways to like cut, like he showed us tonight, how to cut a tri-tip properly, you know, like you want to learn how to do something the right way. You got to find people that have studied and put in the time and effort. And like all of these guys have Paul's an amazing chef. That's why he's the head chef at Shikaka's. That's why R&B Co. like spot on to you guys for picking up the talent. And we're looking forward to seeing what you guys got. Make sure you check them out. All their links and ways to get a hold of them are in the description, and we've also put them up on screen for your viewing convenience.
Remember, you know, when you're out at the store getting your meat, talk to the butcher. They're happy to talk to you. They're happy to help you. Don't be scared.
That's right. That's what it's about. And I just want to give a shout out to the guys in the lounge, Adam, Norm, Chris, Travis, Anthony, and Frank. You guys, y'all are my brothers. I've said it many times before. I'll say it again. You know, you guys are family to me. We're not just some strangers on Instagram. And quick shout out also to Keith at Davison's Butcher Supply. Again, without his exposure, I don't think we would have blown up the way we did. And also to Victory Knives down in New Zealand. Again, done us a real solid with producing these knives and keeping the cost low for everybody in the community to just have some good quality knives and just be able to share the experience. You know, so thank you guys for having me on. This has been incredible.
Wonderful. Hell yeah, man. Well, we're going to wrap up this season over the weekend, and we're definitely going to have you back in studio. Yeah, I'm sure Chicago's will have more dishes to debut, and we definitely want to hear back and see how the lounge is doing.
We're looking absolutely forward to seeing more of your meat.
That's yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Whip it out, yum.
All right, guys. Well, it has been fun. Until next time, take a toke and watch all your worries go up in smoke. Peace.
Assembly super simple. We're gonna start with some veggies. You got some onion, some bell pepper, some tomato. We'll get some pieces of chicken in there. When you put this chicken in the marinade, you want to puncture it with some with a fork or something, just to give it a little few more entry points for the marinade to permeate further into the meat, so that way you get really good flavor all the way through. So we just repeat the same process until the skewer is full. And these bad boys will be ready for the grill.
Mother Vinch, is that you make kebabs?
Alright, so we got the chicken kebabs on the grill. And dark meat takes a little bit longer to cook, so you definitely don't want to undercook those. I would say conservatively about 25 minutes or so, but you know, meat thermometer is always going to be your best friend. Chicken should always cook to 165. You don't want to give anybody salmonella. But yeah, it's going to be super simple. It's got a great marinade on there. It's going to be packed full of flavor. It's going to be awesome. So get a good char on those going, and then we'll just let them do their thing.
Yeah.